Welcome back to the Wake Up Zone, 6:36 the time. Time for our Friday morning chat with our friend Jimmy Himes from Sports Radio WNML in Knoxville. As Tennessee gets ready to play in the SEC tournament tonight, they'll play Mississippi State in the late game, somewhere in the 820 to 830 range right here on the zone. Jimmy, how you doing this morning?
Doing great, Kevin. How are you?
I'm good. How much tougher do you think this matchup with State could be after Tennessee beat them on senior night a couple weeks ago in Knoxville and one that, wasn't quite as close as I thought it might be going in?
Well, I think it's going to be a harder matchup. I think State is a dangerous team. Weatherspoon is a really good player, and they did a great job on him last time they played. But when you have the home court advantage, now you've got one win under your belt against them. You play them a second time. Now, the one thing that is interesting, if you look at what Rick Barnes has done at Tennessee in the last 2 years, in every rematch game, he won. Whether he won the first or lost the first game, the rematch, he's won it. And so that would bode well in Tennessee's favor. But I think Mississippi State's a dangerous team. They didn't shoot well against Tennessee here. If they shoot a little bit better, then I think that they could knock off Tennessee. Tennessee's defense in that game was outstanding. It'll need to be very good again if they want to beat Mississippi State.
Yeah, Mississippi State, Jimmy, 27 made threes in their last two games. And you know that when you're in a tournament, you're sort of in a feel-good mode, and that you know, maybe that carries over today.
Yeah, that's a good point. And State didn't shoot nearly that well against Tennessee. Now, Tennessee had something to do with it, but still, Mississippi State didn't shoot well. I remember Ben Howland after that game talking about how great Tennessee is and how they have no weaknesses in their Final Four caliber team. Tennessee has not always played like a Final Four caliber team. That night, defensively, they did look like they could make a run to the Final Four. But I don't think anything's going to come easy for Tennessee. And I don't think Tennessee is as sharp or was as sharp down the stretch as it was earlier in the year. I know the competition was better, but I didn't think Tennessee played as well as it did when they were beating Gonzaga and they were beating Georgia about 40-something points. So I think they need to try to rediscover a little bit of that mojo. Not that they played bad, they just didn't play quite as sharp as they did earlier.
Hey, Jimmy, some of that seems to me to be production out of the bench. How important is that as they start in this postseason run here, getting more out of more than maybe just one guy?
I think it's real important because Tennessee right now doesn't have any depth that you would count on coming off the bench. Fulkerson has given them some good minutes from time to time. Walker has not. Nobody else really has either. And then Epon didn't even play. Of course, that's not inside depth, but he didn't even play in the most recent game. So I think they've got to get some more depth. And I know a lot of people I talk to, including people who used to coach it in the collegiate level, they feel like depth is really important at this time. And maybe it is. I'm still reminded that Georgia won the SEC by winning 4 games in 3 days and 2 in 1 day. Maybe that's carrying too much weight with me on the depth issue. But I do think it would be helpful. Look, if Kyle Alexander gets in foul trouble, and he missed last year's game against Loyola Chicago, but if he gets in foul trouble, who's going to come in and give you positive minutes there? The most likely suspect would be Fulkerson, but that has not been on a consistent basis. So I'm a little bit concerned about Tennessee's depth, in particular the interior depth.
Jimmy Himes is our guest from Sports Radio WNML in Knoxville.
Yeah, also, you know, following that up, I guess I think they need to get more contribution out of Alexander if they're going to make a run, not just in the SEC tournament, but also in the NCAA tournament. What are your thoughts?
Well, I do too, and it doesn't have to be a great contribution.
Right, right.
It could be 6 or 7 points, 6 or 7 rebounds and a block or two. But there are too many games where he hadn't done that, and he's been more prone to foul trouble. And you would like to think that a guy that's the senior would be able to play around that. Now, I'll say this. He's had some tough whistles. There have been some phantom calls against him when you watch replay. Mm. But still, he's got to find a way to stay out of foul trouble, be more productive, get some rebounds, be a rim protector. He doesn't have to be a prolific scorer by any means. Getting a 2 or 3 baskets game would certainly help. But I do think if Tennessee wants to make a long run, they've got to get more out of Alexander.
Well, Jimmy, you know, I have to ask you about rest and conditioning, because that's always my favorite topic. Is it better to make a deep SEC tournament run or try to get some rest for the NCAA tournament?
Well, you know, it's and I'm in the minority on this. I think that you can make a deep run and it can carry some momentum, and that that can be helpful. I'm reminded of what Connecticut did when they went to Kemba Walker. They won 5 Big East games in 5 days and went on to the Final Four. I think they won the national championship that year. Syracuse did it with a guy named McNamara 1 year, where they played 5 games in 5 days, and momentum carried over in the NCAA tournament. But a lot of other people think it's better to get the rest. Calipari thinks it's better to get the rest. Others do. I don't think Tennessee's approaching it that way. There is something to be said for that, in particular if you don't have a lot of depth and Tennessee doesn't. But I don't think that's as big a factor as others do. And like I said, I'm in the minority on that one. Mm-hmm. But I don't think it's mutually exclusive to win the SEC tournament and then make a long run in the NCAA tournament. I think you can do both.
Yeah, well said. Is the number one seed still attainable, I guess? Obtainable?
It is. We talked to Joe Lenardi yesterday. We had him on our show here on Sports Talk. And he said, now, to get there, Tennessee has to beat Kentucky and pretty much has to win the SEC tournament. And he feels the same way about Kentucky. He thinks for Kentucky to get a one seed, Kentucky has to beat Tennessee and likely win the SEC tournament. So, yeah, I do think a one seed is still attainable. And Lenardi is not in the belief that the ACC is going to get 3 teams. So he does think Gonzaga's in it. He thinks 2 from the ACC could get in, but he thinks there's a really good chance. And he thinks Michigan State could get in it also if Michigan State wins the Big Ten. But, yeah, he does think Tennessee could get a 1 seed.
The same Michigan State that lost twice to Indiana?
Did Michigan State just lose again? They didn't. I mean, they're still alive in the
tournament. Yeah, they are. Yeah. I was making a joke.
I was surprised at that. And Michigan State's got 6 losses. So, but Lenardi said, now, that depends on what happens with everybody else, obviously, as to whether Michigan State could get in there. He's not ruling them out as a 1 seed. He knows more about it than I do, but I think that's a long shot for Michigan State, even by winning the Big Ten.
We'll talk more with Jimmy Himes from Sports Radio WNML. We'll get into a volunteer basketball and football every Monday and Friday with Jimmy. That's coming up next here on The Zone. First, Mark, and a word about USS.
That's right. If you have a wet basement or crawl space, it's time to call United Structural Systems. Hey, I've been talking about these guys a long time, and for good reason. They've served Middle Tennessee for over 25 years. They've helped over 15,000 satisfied residential customers, and they're the go-to company when it comes to foundation repair and waterproofing. So if you have a wet basement or crawl space, you don't have to put up with that. Water intrusion and moisture could give you all sorts of problems down the road, so you want to get this fixed. And now it could be because you have poor drainage or surface water flooding over the walls or underwater pressure forcing water into the basement. Could be a plumbing leak. You don't know. But the team at USS will find out why you have a wet basement or crawl space, and they'll give you a plan to fix it. And if you decide to move forward, you don't pay a dime until the work is done and you are satisfied. So call for that free estimate and find out how much it's going to cost to fix it from the people I trust. Go to USSTN.com. That's USSTN.com. United Structural Systems.
Wake up zone on 104.5 The Zone, 6:50 the time. Jimmy Himes, our guest from Sports Radio WNML in Knoxville.
Jimmy, Tennessee had its pro day. The NFL people converged upon Knoxville. Which Vols do you think helped themselves the most?
I think Kyle Phillips might have helped himself. I think he is the most likely of Tennessee's players to be drafted. Mark, if he's not drafted, here's a sobering stat for you. It'd be the third time in 5 years Tennessee wouldn't have a player drafted. They had a player drafted every year between 1964 and like 2014. I thought Jonathan Kongbo had a good workout. Now, we didn't get to see everything that they did, but I talked to Kongbo afterward. He felt good about what he did. I said, do you think you can make it in the NFL? He said, I will make it in the NFL, no doubt about it. But I think I think Phillips has the best chance to get drafted. I'm not sure if anybody else. I don't feel real good about anybody else being drafted. I think he's got the best shot. I know Shai Tuttle worked out. I think he's been so injury prone, it's going to be tough for him. Now, Phillips has had injuries too, but those have been mainly to his shoulder. By the way, Kongbo said something, and I had pretty much a one-on-one interview with him afterward, after some other people left. And he told me 2 things that really, I think, underscore why Butch Jones failed at Tennessee. He said, one, he said, I know a lot of people said I was upset about getting moved to defensive tackle. He said, the problem was I read about it on Twitter. No coach, nobody told me I was moving to tackle. I read it on Twitter. He said, that made me mad, that kind of communication from the coaches. The other thing he said was, I came to Tennessee to get developed. He said, I didn't get developed until my senior year under Jeremy Pruitt. I thought those two things were pretty condemning to the previous coaching staff.
And speaking of Jeremy Pruitt, he had some nice things to say earlier in the week about Jared Garantano.
Yeah, he talked about Garantano, how he is looked good, that he's taking more of a leadership role. I think Jim Chaney's going to be really good for Garantano. And Garantano has to play well, in my opinion, for Tennessee to be good enough to get to a bowl game. I saw where one preseason magazine rated him the 11th best quarterback in the league. If he plays like the 11th best quarterback in the league, Tennessee isn't going anywhere. He has the potential to be a lot better than that. I think he's got the potential to be one of the top five or six quarterbacks in the league. Now, Garantano talked about how Chaney has said that there are a lot of answers. He's got a lot more answers in the equation to what defenses are doing. And, of course, he's got to react quickly to those. He's got to get rid of the ball. He's got to recognize blitzes. He's got to make sure he calls the right pass protection. But I think that Chaney's going to be good for him. And I look for Garantano to have a good year. I don't know about a great year, but I think he can have a good year.
Feeling good about the offensive line. You know, not all the pieces are in place, I guess. But at least early on, what do you make of the competition?
Well, I'll say this. A few years ago, I kept saying, the line's going to be better. They got all these guys coming back, and I kept being wrong. So I've learned. I'm going to take a wait-and-see position. But to your question, they have a lot of – they got a lot more pieces. They got a lot more potential depth. Marcus Tatum got here. He weighed about 255. Now he's up to about 315. And he said that people cannot bull rush him anymore. He's gotten a lot stronger. He's put on about 30 pounds in the – at least 20 pounds in the last year. Wanyan Morris is having a good camp. He's a true freshman. There's a chance he could start. Darnell Wright's not here. He could start also as a true freshman, depending on what they do. They've not ruling out Trey Smith. Frankly, I'll be surprised if he plays this fall, but they're not ruling him out. I think Brandon Kennedy can be a nice center. I think Brian Johnson could be a decent guard. They've got some other numbers there. Jameer Johnson's been working a lot of tackle. He played guard last year. Carvin can be a pretty good guard, I think. So I think they've got more pieces in place. I think that they will be better. The question is how much better. If you rated them on a 1 to 10 scale like a 3 or 4 last year, are they going to be a 4 or 5 or are they going to be a 6 or 7? I don't know, but I do think they're bigger, stronger. They'll have the second year with the same strength coach, the second year with the same offensive line coach. So I think they'll be better, and I'll be really curious to see who fits in where. Who's going to be a tackle? Who's going to be a guard? The only thing I feel confident in telling you is that Brandon Kennedy's going to start at center.
Thought it was interesting. Kevin Shearer throwing Quarvarius Crouch in the deep end because they want this kid to get ready or at least to absorb as much as he can because I guess they feel like, you know, like some of the aforementioned players on offense, this is a kid who could start from day one.
He could, and I wouldn't be surprised if he does. Kirkland is out this spring. Quarvarius Crouch could play one of the inside linebacker spots next to Batuli. And I think Batuli's going to have a big year. He's had over 85 tackles each of the last 2 years. I would expect the same out of him again. But they don't have a lot of depth at linebacker. They like Darrell Taylor at one outside linebacker spot. J.J. Peterson, he has worked it inside and outside. Crouch has also done that, too. But I do think the starting linebacking group can be good. I don't think they have a lot of depth at linebacker. But I think Crouch is a guy that from game one could potentially start. I don't know about Henry Toto. He's not here, and I don't know how good he's going to be when he gets here. But I think the linebacking group, if healthy, has a chance to be one of the better units on Tennessee's team.
Jimmy, one more about basketball before we let you go. I was reading the story this morning about Tony White and this team's connection. Yeah. How neat is that that they've embraced him as he battles to stay alive? You're talking about one of the all-time greats in Tennessee history.
Yeah, we had Tony on our show recently, and he's been battling with leukemia. He's been in Nashville more than once. He's there now, hospitalized. He's got to get, a stem transplant that he's working on, but I would be surprised at otherwise because that's what Rick Barnes does. That's the culture of this team. They reach out to others, and they've been to visit him before, and they visit him again on this trip. And Tony appreciates that. I'll tell you a quick story on that. So Grant Williams, when Tennessee played Vanderbilt over there, he was talking to Grant Williams, who went by to visit him on the trip back in January when Grant scored 43. And so Grant Williams went over there, and they're both from Charlotte. And Tony said, well, if you get there, you better not foul out, because I've seen you play. You foul out too much. So you better stay in the game if you want to break my record. But it is neat to see Tennessee, the players, and reach out to Tony White.
Man, he was a great player. Jimmy, have a great weekend. We'll talk to you Monday.
Thanks, guys.
All right. Jimmy Heim, Sports Radio WNML in Knoxville every Monday and Friday on the Wake Up Zone. Coming up next, staying solid to the two-tone blue. We'll hear from the newest Titans, 657 on 104.5 The Zone.